The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so they came up with this program. I'm going to do one skit. I traumatized Janice by asking her to participate with me. So she's going to be very traumatized. And the story is that Janice was in a bad car wreck, a bad accident a week ago. And it left her with a broken arm and minor concussion. It nearly killed her husband and her child and killed the other driver of the car. She has been unable to go home from the hospital, but is worried about her family. Although she has people to help with meals and housework and getting to and from the hospital for visits, she is feeling worse and worse. The pastor, me, just stopped by to visit her. So, Janice, I came to see your family.
Well, they're sleeping just now, but I'm not doing so well.
Look at the positive side. You didn't die.
But I'm feeling confused. Can we talk?
That's my husband. Can you excuse me a minute? Anyway, I'm way distracted. And then I have a building committee meeting. Let's talk as we walk to my car. So,
okay. Now that my husband and daughter are okay, I'm feeling worse. I'm not sleeping and I'm avoiding cars and especially driving.
There's no reason to be afraid. Forget it. Take control. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear.
Oh, no. Now I feel guilty about feeling afraid. And I feel angry. I know I should feel thankful, but...
Just a minute.
Kevin, you got a phone call.
Oh, yes. Okay.
1105.
Oh.
1105.
Oh, that's great. Well, let's do that. I want to do that. Okay. Okay. Awesome. Oh, what were you saying?
I'm saying I was feeling guilty. I'm about feeling afraid now that you said that.
Oh, you should be thankful. This reminds me of when our church burned down. I decided to rejoice and everything was fine.
Yeah, I tried to, but I can't control the fear.
Oh, I get on the phone again. I'm sorry.
681 notification. Oh.
My phone is on blind mode, and I can't get it off. Oh, okay. Okay. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Sorry.
I can see that you're really busy, but what can I do about this fear?
Remember Romans 8:28. Be thankful. I'll ask the church to pray for you.
Oh, please, no. Don't tell anyone.
Don't worry. We're all family. It's all in the family. There's no reason to be embarrassed. I gotta run. Be dejected. Thank you, Janice. That was an example of what not to do. When someone is traumatized, you want to make eye contact. You want to pay attention. And, communication has been since the very beginning, since chapter one of the Bible. I was talking to my friend, and she informed me that if you're on the internet and you look up language, they can't figure out where language came from. So they want to tell you that it came from anything but God. So it came from Martians. And aliens. But, oh. Sorry, Dan gave me the clicker. Okay. It's not working. Oh, I have to turn it on? Oh. Oh, there we go. Sorry, I am unpolished. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, John 1:1. So in the beginning, there's speaking going on. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father. We declared this to you that we may have fellowship. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write these things unto you that your joy may be full. So in this life, we're wired to be social. We're wired to communicate. We're wired to speak, and we're wired to listen. And if you notice you have two ears, you should probably listen twice as much as you speak. But let's see here. Oh, technology worked. So the Hebrew word dabar, it means to speak or declare. It often signifies the word of God. He commands or his commands or his promises. It is used to convey the idea of communication, whether divine or human. In the Greek / Hebrew, logos, hence, is to gather. Last week, Kenny talked about gathering people. Well, speaking is gathering words together. And then, like I said before, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. And the Greek word rhema refers to the spoken word or utterance, often used in the context of God's spoken word. And, you know, there's speech going all around us all the time. And in John 1:1-5, all things were made by Jesus, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's the very beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God said, that's communication, let there be light, and there was light. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Holy Spirit moved over the waters, and whatever God said, it came to pass. And I'm going to read Psalms 19, 1 through 6. Oh, there we go. Whoops, I'm way behind. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the heavens declare, that means the heavens speak, the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day into day pours out speech, and night into night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heavens, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from his, from its heat. And so this is speaking of Jesus. It's no accident that the Son, S-O-N, and the S-U-N, they come forth as an example of a bridegroom coming out of its chamber. Every morning in the east, the sun rises. Every evening, the sun sets in the west. And you can set your time by it. The seasons in Genesis 1, God didn't create the sun and the moon and the stars until day 4. And he said they were set there for signs and for wonders and for times. And so the heavens declare, you can be in any country, speak any language, and you can look up the heavens and you can be in awe. You know, God told Abraham, see if you can count those stars, because that's what I'm going to pour. That's how many blessings I'm going to pour out on you. And because you are blessed, you will pass out those blessings. So the heavens speak. They declare the glory of God. Let's see. Sorry, I'll get polished someday. Maybe not. So, and here's another scripture. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples. This is when Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. And it's his last time coming into Jerusalem. And his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke your disciples. They're dancing and they're having way too much fun." And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." And so here we have stones crying out. You know, so, you know, if we don't praise him and you see rocks praising him, guess what? You need to get a wiggle on and start praising. Let's see. "How majestic is your name, a psalm of David. O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set the glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou might steal the enemy and the avenger." So out of the mouth, little babes speak, little ones that are still nursing speak. In our class, we have a little Athena, and she's 4 years old, and we're trying to get them to pray for themselves, to know that they can pray. You know, God is ready to hear you speak 24/7. And so we're trying to get the little ones to learn that they can go to God and speak and talk to him. We want you talking to Jesus all the days of your life. That's what we're teaching the little ones. And the little Athena, our four-year-old, I ask, "Who wants to pray today for everybody?" And Athena, this four-year-old out of all the kids, raises her hand and says, "I want to." And I go, that is so awesome. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you know, God has ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou might steal the enemy and the avenger. "When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" You know, I can say this with David. When you look at all of creation, I'm in awe, and I wonder about this God that is so creative, that has made all this beauty for us, that he loves us so much and wants us back in his presence, and he paid an extravagant price. He let his only begotten son come here and shed his blood on a cruel cross, because it says that most things are cleansed by blood, but your conscience is not. In the Old Testament, the high priest or the priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and David set it up so that there was a rotation, and they would go in and burn incense. And they only got this opportunity once in a lifetime to go into the holy place and burn incense and lift up the prayers for the people. Because that's what priests do. They bring you gifts from God, and we praise him because of all the glory and the wonder and the majesty. So with David, what is man that you are mindful of him? Why would you even look on us? You know, we're messes often. But so what is man that there are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the work of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. You know, when you look at creation, are you in awe? I'm in awe when I look up at the sky, and when I see all the pictures from Hubble telescope that comes back, you know, when God said, "Let there be light," wow, there was light. And it's so vast, and we don't know the end of it. And it goes up the opposite way too. It can go, you know, now we've got micron microscopes that can look, you know, and examine DNA, you know, and they've learned so much from DNA, you know, so life, it's repeated again and again, the life of the creature, that's us, we're the creatures, is in the blood. Okay. And there is a rest for people. We've been studying in Hebrews, and Hebrews is the only book in the Bible that tells you where Jesus is ministering today. You know, when he hung on that cross, it said that the veil of the temple was rent, and it was speaking of his body. It was so deformed from being whipped and beaten that he was barely recognizable as a man. And, you know, and it says when that veil was torn, he likened it to Jesus' flesh being torn. And when that flesh was torn and the blood was shed for us, and Jesus stepped into that holy sanctuary, that sanctuary that's in heaven, and he abides there today and ministers today for us in a holy sanctuary that was also cleansed with his blood up there. And he's with the Father. And this whole thing is about us being back in the presence of a holy God. You know, we're in this fallen condition, and we need what God offered through his son, Jesus. And I started out with telling you about the people in Rwanda, how they couldn't hear the gospel because they were so traumatized. You know, if you have to worry about your kids being kidnapped and made into child soldiers, or I taught English at the Sunnyvale Refugee Center, which is just straight across the street from where we lived. And this one lady said, "I'm so thankful to be in America." And I said, "Why?" And she says, "Because I don't have to worry about the cutters coming in and cutting off body parts." And I go, "Oh my gosh, we are so spoiled here in America." She goes, "I can sleep in America." And I go, "Oh my gosh, we are so spoiled." So there is a rest for the people, and that trauma healing program that they came up with was to get people to trust, to speak, and bring up the issues of their heart, so they could heal those heart wounds. And anyway, there is a rest for the people of God. And if you can't hear this good news message that Jesus loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son here to die and pay a price for you, you can't save yourself from sin. How many of you make New Year's resolutions? How long do they last? You know, we want to do what's right, but we find that there's another thing working in us that, you know, the things that I hate, that's what I end up doing. And the things that I want to do, I don't do. That's Romans 7. Is it 6? 6 or 7? 7. And so, you know, God wants us to hear the spoken word. He declares his glory from the heavens. Rocks cry out. He wants you to hear him speak. And he wants you to listen. You know, over and over again in the Bible, it says, they have ears, but they hear not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have a heart, but it doesn't understand what I'm trying to tell them. You know, and this trauma healing program just made a way for these people who were so traumatized to be able to hear the word of God, to hear the word preached. Do you have someone who loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for you? You know, there's no greater friend than one that will lay down their life for you. And anyway, I'll get polished. Maybe not. And this is the very beginning of Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the Father by the prophets. So God, in the Old Testament, spoke by prophets. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's why I was telling you, Hebrews, Jesus is ministering in a holy tabernacle in heaven with his Father. And he, you know, God wants us back in his presence. That's the whole end game. He desires you. You are precious to him. And an extravagant price was paid for all of you, each one of you. You know, I probably wouldn't hang my son on a cross for you. But that's what God did for us, because he wants us back in his presence, and he paid that extravagant price. I want to tell you about the angels speaking. Let me see here. So God is, this is the conquest of Canaan. The people are promised this promised land, which is Israel. And God is saying, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey him, then and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thy enemies and an adversary unto thy adversaries. So he says, you know what? You can't. This angel stands in my holy presence. Don't try to manipulate him. He is going to do my will, not your will. And his will is to do, the angel's will is to do the Father's will. And he only speaks what he hears from the Father or the Son and conveys that. And, you know, the angels of God can't be manipulated. The fallen angels, they can let you think you're manipulating them. But remember Kenny's sermon, but the truth always comes after the but. So be aware, because my angel's doing my will, not your will. For my angels shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, gods little g, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thy enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and from before thee. I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against you. Little by little I will drive them out from before thee until you be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the deserts unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in the land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto you. And so, you know, God has given them all these promises. I'll bless your bread. I'll bless your water. You know, you won't have sickness amongst you. Nothing will cast their young, nor be barren in thy land, and you will live a full and prosperous life. You know, God desires for you to have a prosperous life. And the only way it happens is if you are in his presence, and if you hear him speak, And if you are obedient immediately, and you know, there's a lot of voices in this world, and he wants you to discern. I pray all of us have discernment to be able to judge from what is going to bring life and what is going to bring death. You know, words are so powerful. That's why I started out with trauma healing. You know, people can be healed from trauma if they find a counselor that they trust and they can speak, the words of their heart. And then speaking those words, then those heart wounds that are invisible will get healed. You know, so speaking is so powerful. Just like I read all these scriptures, you know, the angels speak. Don't mess with them. The rocks cry out. The heaven declares his glory. You know, it's just, he's so majestic. And he is so for us and not against us. And he wants us back in his presence at all cost. So, one more scripture. Oops, nope, sorry. I better go back. I'm the chaplain in an Alzheimer's unit, and so sometimes I use the same PowerPoints, and I put a lot of music in there. Music was just going to come up. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the law is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the dripping of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So this is all about words. It's all about the law, words, the testimony, words, precepts, words, commandments, words, and the rules of the Lord, they endure forever. And they are, it's not to whack-a-mole, you know, wait for you to make some mistakes so he can whack-a-mole. It's so that he can bring you abundant life. He made you. He knows what's going to bring abundant life. So I just encourage you, be aware of everything that's speaking around you and pointing to him, your maker, the one who loves you and paid an extravagant price for you to come back into his holy presence. So let's be aware of the words we speak, of the words being spoken, the universe, of the words being spoken by God's angels, by his holy book. Let's be aware of those words. Life, death.